Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Again, and maybe that's why I'm enjoying that, is I'm doing the opposite. I'm trying not to get caught up in that, because everything you read, oh, there's something going to happen here in the top 10.
I need that.
It's like, all right, like maybe it will. You know, there's the Viking stuff we were talking about earlier, the Justin Jefferson ramifications. We haven't talked one time about the 49ers. We talked about the rumors about the Raiders. And, you know, do they go quarterback? Is it Penix? Are they trying to move up? Can they get Penix at 13? What can they do there? Steelo and Casey here on KIFM West Sacramento, 98.5 FM Carrick's QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Donnell Rawlings later on this hour, about 2:45 or so. Donnell should be with us. He's at the Punchline this weekend. And then our man Matt George will close out the show with us. Lots to talk to Matt George about on the heels of our guy Malik Monk getting left out of, or he wasn't left out, but not winning the Sixth Man of the Year award.
It seemed like that was something that a lot of people were kind of upset about, you know, like all the not all of, I shouldn't say that, but a lot of like the stat muse and all this other stuff and people like that.
There were a lot of Malik Monk statistics floating around social media,
you know,
yesterday.
Like, man,
not from
ever.
Kings fans.
Exactly. Biggest snub ever, all that other stuff. And yeah, a lot of people seem to look at that like, nah, that was not the right pick. And even when saying that, like I feel bad for pointing that out because of Naz Reid. I like Naz Reid. I think he had a really good season, and he deserves acknowledgement for that. I just don't think he was number one. Shouldn't have been number one.
Not to leave the Malik Monk conversation, Diana Rossini just tweeted a moment ago.
Trade?
Well, you wanted action.
Let's go.
It's not a trade, but your 49ers have had conversations with teams, including one picking in the top 10, about trading either of their prized wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel, in an effort to move up in the first round, per sources. Again, that's Diana Rossini. Kenny Caraway, your live reaction to Diana Rossini's tweet.
Bro, no, man. No. No. Neither one of them. No. Don't do that. Don't do that for some rookie. And what are you going to get a rookie for? I mean, I know this is – so I would think, my first thought
– finances.
Yeah, there's that. But, like, what type of player? Now, my thought is the first thing I think is it's the draft another wide receiver. There's supposed to be a big-time wide receiver draft. And you go get one of those young guys. But nah, man. First of all, you know Debo's like my favorite player on the team. Love Debo.
You're going to get a Debo jersey, I'm certain.
I was, but now, then it got uncertain because talking about trades and all this other stuff. So let me wait and see what's going on. And in all honesty, he's probably gone next year anyway. But nah, man, I don't want to. No, man, don't do that. Don't trade neither one of these dudes, man.
The tough thing about.
Not now.
I certainly don't question the validity of what she tweeted, but there's so many ramifications to a tweet like that. The 49ers have had conversations with teams, including one picking in the top 10, about trading either of their prized wide receivers, Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel. I'm Deebo Samuel looking at that like, a word?
Where'd this come from?
I'm Brandon Ayuk looking at it like, a word? You're supposed to be having good faith contract negotiations with me. Now you're trying to move up in the draft? You trying to draft a kid? And again, I'm not questioning the validity to it.
Right.
I'm just saying, somebody shared that with her, and I feel like she's so experienced. Like if we said the Giants at 6, the Giants give her that information. Hey, the 49ers called. I've heard they've called a couple of teams. They called us. They're trying to move up. They brought up Ayuk. They brought up Deebo. That could have been the conversation they had.
Yeah.
Doesn't Diana have to some way, shape, or form verify that with San Francisco before tweeting that?
You would think.
Otherwise, you could potentially be getting played.
Right. You would think. And then, like you said, verify. Like, she may have, I'm not saying this happened. We don't know. But, like, even if you reach out and they don't respond, you still got to, like, oh, well, they didn't respond. I can't just go out there with this tweet. So, I don't know. I don't know. That's bad.
I feel like I ruined your day.
You did. I didn't want that. No. I wanted chaos with other teams. With other teams. I wanted the Kings, the Niners, to stay cool. Stay cool.
With the Kings to move up in the draft.
Yeah, I'd rather have them move up as opposed to trading Ayuk and Deebo.
Or Deebo. Not both. That'd be crazy.
I ain't like that. I'm about to be upset. I'm about to be upset if that happens today. But if either one of them are not 49ers tomorrow, I'm going to be upset.
I feel like maybe I should have kept that to myself.
Spread like wildfire.
And the 500 people that are retweeting it right now at this moment. Look. 2 hours and 54 minutes. We're just hours
it's
before
popping out there too.
Everything. Crowd. Yeah, that's crazy. So this is what I say, man. They've done a magnificent job.
Yeah.
They have done a magnificent job. They, the NFL.
Were we?
And look, this is the ABC crew.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
the
Reese
game day
and Nick Saban up there. Yeah. Herbie taking a break from his Thursday night football duties.
Isn't Bill Belichick doing Pat McAfee's show today?
Oh, is he? Okay, sure.
He's having one of those shoulder.
Well, I think Bill's doing this show today.
No,
you're right. Saban's doing this show. Bill's doing McAfee's show.
Because McAfee's doing a little the shoulder programming thing. Like
and Bill's doing Manning stuff this year. He's doing Manning cast stuff.
I'll check that out. See what he's talking about. I'll check that out. But
I feel like he's going to be really entertaining.
I think so, too. I think Saban's going to be pretty good, too.
Saban, you know, look how relaxed Nick Saban looks now that he's not a coach anymore. He used to just be so stiff and rigid. Now he's just relaxed and letting Reese do his thing. He's moving his shoulders. Yeah. And
I know you remember this, but when they won the national championship that time and he got pelted with the Gatorade.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They smacked the hell out of him with that Gatorade.
You know what else I love? Because this type of stuff catches my attention is off the screen. You look at the table. Who's at the center of the table?
Oh, it's Nick.
Yeah.
The head of the table.
Yeah. They did not put the host at the center of the table. They put Nick Saban right smack dab in the middle.
I think they're talking about him now. The most career first-round picks, 49.
That's incredible.
For Nick Saban. The next closest is Joe Paterno with 33. Jeez. Nick Saban is he's probably the GOAT college football coach.
What a niche Pat McAfee has carved out for himself. He's just slapping Nick Saban on the back. Hey, welcome to the broadcast team, buddy. Just the most chill dude up there. Going to head to SmackDown tomorrow night for the other draft that he's got to do. I got a lot of respect for Pat McAfee.
He's living a life, man.
I got a lot of respect for this dude.
Yeah.
Because he stopped doing WWE because he's, it's too much. Can't keep up with all of it. WWE was like, hey, turns out we really need you. He's like, all right, I got it. I'll do it.
Paid him handsomely. He's living a life. Yeah, see, now I'm thinking about the Niners, man.
I'm sorry. Right. I didn't mean to.
All right, so okay. Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you're the 49ers and you're mm-hmm. looking at this thing like, man, we got to move on from one of these mm-hmm. guys, which one are you moving on?
Debo.
From?
It, honestly,
it, I like, understand. So it you too. Were having I this. Understand it.
You were having this conversation with Kyle yesterday, yeah. and I just fell out, and yeah. I let you guys talk. To me, I understand what Debo is, but I also know at this point, it's probably an easy decision for me. It, like if I'm running the 49ers, it's probably an easy decision for me. Is like I know everything Debo can do mm-hmm. for me on a football field. I just. Year after year after year, I have to wonder how often can he do it.
Yeah,
and
he's injury prone.
It'd be Debo.
He's injury prone, and I think Brandon Ayuk is a better wide receiver. I think he's a better wide receiver. I think Debo's a bigger game changer.
I agree.
I think he's a bigger game playmaker than Brandon Ayuk. But as far as like something you can rely on, down in and down out, it's Brandon Ayuk. So. I think that's the way I would go too, but they're gonna have to. If they do that, they're gonna have to find a home run hitter. You know, I don't want to make too much out of one game. And I love those dudes. Like you see how I'm feeling right now. Like I'm riding with them. We'll run it back. We'll figure it out, or whatever the case may be. But they were strapped up in that Super Bowl. Neither one of them could create separation at all. And I was a little surprised by that. Now, that might have been one of the best defenses in the game, one of the best secondaries in the game in Kansas City. But Ayuk and Debo were strapped up in that Super Bowl. And I was like, that was kind of a rude awakening for me because I'm watching and they, you know, do these montages of Kansas City defending him and, mm-hmm. you know, some of the passes that just went out of his hands or whatever. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, these dudes ain't got no separation. like Brock was having to make perfect passes down the field, over the middle, all this other stuff. And I'm like, damn, not my guys.
Mm.
Not my guys getting locked up like this. These are my boys. They can't get open. A couple times they did and they just missed them. But yeah, that was a little concerning.
Mm. I saw would Pick Your Poison go. Pick Your Poison said on YouTube, by definition, better wide receiver. Yes, Debo is all-around player, though. You'd have to be blown away by an offer in all caps. Yeah, I'm not suggesting you give him away. Mm. And I'm kind of along the line. You asked if I had to pick one,
yeah.
Is Debo. But I'm not going quietly here. Like, you have to pry Debo from my hands.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's got to be one of them. It's got to be him. Let's get TC in here, 916-909-1320. What's up, TC? TC? Hey, Joe? Can we get TC? TC, what's going on, brother?
What's up, my two brothers?
What up, Mac Dog?
Oh, man, you know, just trying to vibe. Hey, look, first and foremost, before we get into the Niners, hey, Kenny, hey, D-Lo, I heard y'all earlier, bro, about the whole Thunder. I called yesterday, bro, like, I'm going to get over it, bro, and we going to move on, bro, but I'm still jaded and sick about that situation. Like you, D-Lo, I'm not watching that. I might watch some other games, bro, but I'm not watching that series, dog. The Pelicans, they anger me, bro. The Thunder, it would have been a gentleman's sweep if we would have played them 4-1. In my opinion, like, I'm sick, big dog.
I know. I feel you, dog.
I know you wanted to cook on the 49ers, man. Go ahead.
All right, look, check it out. It's draft night. We back on the board. Hey, D-Lo, I'm with you. Kenny, this is a hard decision that we was making, bro. You're going to have to face it. Face reality. We got to be real with ourselves. Look, bro, if it come down to it, 19 got to go, bro.
I understand.
It hurt me.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying, though? But we need real route. Right? If Brock's the guy, real deal, right? Real deal, Holyfield.
He
needs real pure route runners, bro. He needs receivers around him. B.A. is one of the starts, and we got to add to that, big dog. So, hey, y'all, don't be surprised if 19 is gone tonight, big homie.
I appreciate you, TC. You know what would make TC really happy? if Kyle Shanahan was wearing the 19 jersey. And every time he said 19's gone, it meant Kyle was gone.
DC was like, you know, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, one of them might be gone, but if the Niners really want to cook, they get rid of the coach.
We'll come back. More on the NFL draft, more on the Sacramento Kings. Donnell Rawlings joins us live in studio in 30 minutes. Matt George joins us in an hour here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Get in on the conversation. 916-909-1320. Now, back to D'Lo and KC. Presented by Sky River Casino on ESPN 1320.
I think Donnell's here now. Is that Donnell right there?
Yeah,
Donnell Rawlings is here.
Donnell Rawlings in the house.
Yeah, I'm with it. That's perfect. We can just hang out and kick it.
Legend.
Yeah, absolutely. Donnell Rawlings at the Punchline tonight, Saturday. What's up, baby?
What's up, Kenny, man?
Man.
How are you?
Go ahead. No, you good. No, no, we on now. Yeah, yeah. No, we on now. No, it's good. Let's get started. That's a good look. That's a good look. That's a good look. Our man Donnell Rawlings in here with us. What's up, baby?
My mind's telling me. No, I can't.
Hey.
Between fries and shakes.
Man.
Ooh, the meanest burger in the world.
Come on, man.
Would be the leanest burger in the world.
The remix.
If you cook it that way.
Ooh.
You keep frying. She might be hiding something inside. Do y'all ever have light-skinned and dark-skinned beef in here? I'm just saying. It's like, some Steph Curry and Draymond going on here.
We haven't, but something happened. I forgot what it was. Something happened we were talking about on 102.5, and somebody was – I don't know if it was something with Drake, and you were like, all right, everybody needs to chill out.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
What happened?
I don't remember, but yeah. No, people get their Drake jokes off. Yeah, absolutely.
Y'all getting money, man. This is technology right here, son. Multicams, billboards.
We trying to come on,
skinny jeans on the joint. You wasn't really in touch with how old you really were in that picture right there. You was trying
to. My man look good.
No, I'm just saying.
Nah,
don't do that.
You pushing it right there. So.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
I did a joke in my on my special, and I say women that go for certain dudes, be going for like older guys, but it's not just any older guys. Guys going through a transition. You ask them how old they are, they'll be like, how old are you? Be like, I'm 30, 52 years old. That outfit look like three ages in one outfit right there. So, but you killing it. You killing it. Boy, y'all about to tear me up.
No, that'd be the last time I wear that, though. I'll tell you that.
That's when you're confident, when you got your ankles out like that.
That's my trademark. Yeah, the ankles stay out.
That's a signature right there.
When did you, because I got into my ankle move about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Because I was straight up white tube socks for anything, dress shoes, whatever, pushing them up. And I'm going to tell you, it was something I let my ankles out. And the response I got, I had my ankles out for 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Wintertime, ankle out.
Yep.
Summer, ankle. Spring, ankle. And I started buying them. I didn't even know that men wear those no-show socks.
Yeah.
Them little slipper joints. That's when it's the next level right there. That's when you in touch.
That's it.
With your side.
That's it.
That's full heterosexual. Metrosexual. That's full metro.
I just like showing off the shoes I had on. So I was like, you know what? Let's
Are they showing off?
Yeah.
That you can see the whole shoe, the whole ankle.
But you know, see, now it's going back though, because you know, we had the slim era with the slim jeans and everything else like that. Now they're going back to like how we did it in the mid-90s.
How you say we? You looked at my beard and just made me a we?
No, I mean, we in here together, man. Come on, man.
You know, back in the day. That was when your waist would be a 32 and you had 44.
Bruh, come on, man.
Oh, man. Telling
Bell, the Bell, whole thing.
I just saw it. I used to see the jeans. Like, I like these jeans. Didn't care what size they were. I like them. I'll make them work.
I can work them. Yeah. But now it's back to it. Go back and forth. But you gotta stay with the time, I guess.
Yeah, man. Yeah. What's up with you, man? We heard that you were talking to another one of our guys out here on 98 Rock, and they say you said you was worried about being in Sacramento. What'd you hear about Sac?
Yo, who snitched, son? Yo, I was a little nervous. I said sometimes it can get a little. I heard it could get a little lit out here. I'm not with that no more.
Oh, man, it's good times out here in Sac.
No, I know he pulled my collar too. Was it a white guy?
No.
Was it a black guy?
No. I ain't no snitch.
So he could snitch on me, but you can't.
I ain't no snitch. Yeah, no, I ain't no snitch.
You all right? Whatever. No, it was just a joke. I'm good.
Nah, it's good. Yeah,
I haven't been here. Didn't they have a company club here called Pepper Bellies?
That was Fairfield.
How close
so that's about 45 minutes.
I don't know, for some reason. I do some
Pepper Bellies. That was a comedy club?
Yeah, Pepper Bellies was a comedy club.
Yeah, it was one of the biggest.
It burned down.
Oh, it's one of those situations.
And it burned down. It burned down. I think I was the last comic that performed there before it burnt down. And I think some people try to say I had something to do with it.
Oh,
but what? I didn't. But it was a good comedy show. In fact, that was like, that was a very interesting weekend because it was the week Charlie Murphy had passed away.
Mm.
And they were kind of jammed on, not to replace him, but anytime things like that happen, that's unfortunate to happen, but you got to figure out who's going to replace it. So the club was happy that I came in, being one of the guys that was a big part of the Chappelle Show to come in here and hold it down. But RIP, my guy, Charlie Murphy. Last scheduled gig before he passed away.
Wow. Pepper Bellies was where they were throwing hot wings at Willie Bar Center.
I was just about to ask you. Yeah, is that the same
place? That's where I thought I was when I was talking to your guy on the radio. Pepper Bellies.
That's crazy. You said they thought you had something to do with it. Like, oh, the place burned down. I think it was Donnell Rawlings who did it. What?
That Jutan clan ain't nothing to mess with.
Well.
Bleep it.
Look at poor Joe. This is like Joe's first day. This is his first day in there. He's scared to death.
Man, his fingers working today. I won't violate any FCC rules or anything like that. We're having a good time, man. But I'm happy to be here. Show tonight. Two shows on Friday. Two shows on Saturday. And we about to bring it. I just did my Netflix special, New Day. It premiered February 27th. I know the question is, well, if a guy put out a special that recently, how fresh is this material going to be? And I could say one of the best compliments I've had since my special aired was that when they come to see my show now, I don't do any of the jokes from the special.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see some fresh stuff. And after 30 years, I think that, you know, I'm one of the top stand-up comics in the game, and you're going to feel it this weekend.
Yeah.
How does something like that go, right? Like, so you have the Netflix special, and I'm assuming, you know, you was building up for that. You want that to be top tier, but you know you're going out on tour afterwards. Do you save anything for the tour, or do you just come up with some new stuff?
Like a lot of times, what comics do if they're like, oh, they'll be running a certain routine for a while, mm-hmm. and then they're like, well, I want to say that for my special, but I always let everything go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, if you do that, then it's gonna force you to write new material, mm-hmm. better material. Mm-hmm. And whenever you see a guy, whenever a comedian records a special, I don't think that. Personally, I don't think that was their best performance. I think the performances leading up to the special, mm-hmm. when you really in the trenches trying to get together, because the day of the shooting, you got the pressures of the cameras, your relatives, all these people. The stakes are high. I think that you were more loose before the special. And if you want to see a comment really that's nice, check them out before they shoot a special, and then check them out after they do the special. But I'm always, most of my career, it's been on the road, and I flip my material probably like every 4 or 5 months. Mm. So I'm always, even when I knew I had the air date, I probably was already 25 or 30 minutes into a routine preparing to go on the road and tour with some different stuff.
Gotcha. Do you ever come off the road when you're like, you're doing the TV shows and the movies and all that stuff? Or do you keep these clubs in the cycle?
Always clubs in the cycle. I've been lucky enough to work with some of the top comics in the game. They gave me our platforms on arena tours. And the question I get all the time, which one do you prefer, the arenas or the comedy clubs? But I'm like, the comedy clubs are what make you a strong comic in arenas. I mean, you can't practice in arenas.
Right.
You got to go and do the grimy spot. You got to go do those comedy clubs that hold 250, 350. And I think, honestly, when you see a comic in the arena, that's a spectacle show. That's like, hey, we all going, we're celebrating a birthday, whatever. I think the best place to see a comic is in a comedy club, that intimate environment where I can see your face, I can hear you, I can like feel your presence in the room. That's the best place if you really want to see a stand-up comedian shine.
Yeah, man. Donnell Rollins, legend, right? Like, legend in it, for me, a legend, right?
That's a new word. That's the new word for call somebody old.
What's up, what's up, OG? They be hitting me with OG now. 50, man.
50, they saying 50. What's up,
all the kids, I coach basketball over the years or whatever.
Okay.
And now I see some of these kids, OG, what up? I'm like, I know. Ew. OG?
But you let them know you can still handle them. I say the same thing. Yeah. What George Foreman won the belt? I think he was like 48 or 49. Yeah.
Beat Evander Holyfield.
So as much
Michael Moore.
Michael Moore. Yeah. Yep.
And so I think it's like, it's interesting. I've been doing it over 30 years, and I've been lucky enough to be able to reach so many generations. Mm-hmm. I had a compliment for somebody. I was in a grocery store maybe 3 years ago, and there was a woman in the middle age, probably mid-40s, and she had a teenage son, probably like 16 or 17. Mm-hmm. And then the mom said, oh, my God, that's the guy from Chappelle's Show. Mm-hmm. Then her son said, no, it's not, Mom. That's the guy from Guy Code. So to be able, and that's a tough thing, because the kids today, the TikTokers, the word they use right now, and it can like get you upset, but like trigger you. Mm-hmm. Relevant. Mm-hmm. You need to be relevant. You need to be relevant. And you got guys that's coming up now that they get hot for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to test my career, see if you can maintain. I see where you are right now, but see if you maintain that 20 years from now, 30 years now, where you can still be relatable to older people. You still can be relatable to younger people. And I've been lucky enough, the body of work I created away from this stage has been able to keep me, if you want to say, relevant, and keep me in people's, keep them in the attention, and they still like it.
I know people probably, like you just said, they talk about the Chappelle Show all the time. Are you like okay with that still, or are you kind of like tired? Like, yeah, I know Chappelle Show. Like,
the reason why I could never get tired of it is sell tickets. Yeah. Ashley Larry is an LLC now. You can write a check to Donnell Rollins, Ashley Larry, Beautiful, any of those characters. And I know I've heard stories of people like, there's been like actors and stuff like, oh, I don't want you to call me, I've done so much. Mm-hmm. And I have done a lot of things before Chappelle's Show. I've done a lot of things after Chappelle's Show. But as hard as it is in this business to be recognized for anything that you do, you know, I embrace it and use it to my favor. I don't lean on it like that's the only thing I've done. I've done so much good stuff after that. Yeah. And the thing I really pride myself on, whether you see me on TV, whether you see me in a movie, the thing that I really care the most about is you seeing me like year after year going to the comedy clubs. You know, seeing the guy like, I seen this guy like 20 years ago, he was funny. I got 30 plus years, and I can honestly say with the career that I've had, I feel like I get better every year. Mm. And that's coming from a guy that's never been horrible.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like every year, I always try to figure out how can I evolve? What's going to take me to the next level?
Yeah.
You know, what can I do different to just keep the fire? Somebody said, Donnell, they asked me, they said, Donnell, how was it when you had bad times? And I know this sounds crazy. I never had a bad moment in this business. Mm. For one, I identified what my God-given talent was, and we've been able to make money doing it. You know what I'm saying? Again, whether I get another film opportunity, a TV opportunity, as long as I can put my name on the marquee and people come out and see me,
yeah,
I won.
Yeah, yeah.
I make my own schedule. I work for myself. You know, I feel at this point in my career, I'm uncancelable. Mm. And the reason why I say that is because I don't have a TV show. You know what I mean? I'm not bind to, like, any corporation. So the people that are really my boss are the people that's been rocking with me for 30 years. Those are people that have seen me on HBO's The Wire, seen me on The Corner, BMF. Those people are the ones that write my checks every weekend.
That BMF role was wild.
Go ahead and say it. I'm going to let y'all know. If y'all watch,
like, yo, man, how you let my man just talk to like
that? I'm not the punk that they try to make me out to be. People think that's really me. Dude tried to take my food at McDonald's the other day. Like, you ain't do nothing in the mall. Why are you worried about it? But you said, I'm going to tell you something. The funny thing about that, because people, they're like, so how you going to let him do you like that? I didn't. Every time, because I'm like a master at improv.
Yeah.
Every time that Lamar would say something disrespectful to me, I would come back to him. Like the one scene, we was at the vet, and he said something about the dog, right?
Yeah.
And he said, man, you ain't care about that dog. I said, I don't care about that dog. I don't care about your black ass. I don't care about him. You just stop sticking my apartment up. I went hard, right? Right in the middle of the scene, they said, cut! Cut! I'm like, why? They said, you can't talk to him like that. I'm like, he talked. They said, because I said, why? They said, because Lamar would have bashed your head through the concrete ceiling. I was like, well, tell him to stay out. My food would be good to go.
I'm sitting there watching. I'm like, if you don't just sock him in the stomach real quick, he ain't got.
Yeah, but then, like, I understood it. But my normal reaction, and I don't think that, but they wanted to make him just a cold killer, which he was.
They did a good job of that, too.
Yeah,
and like this. Yeah. And they like this. Anybody else to talk sideways to him, he going to take him out. So what would be the difference? But the thing with, and I tried to explain to the directors, is the only thing that saved him from killing me was the little respect he had for family.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? That was my cousin.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I want to shout out Tasha Smith. I want to shout out Randy Huggins. And I want to shout out 50 Cent because for the last 5 years, all the work I've got on film and TV has never been through audition. I'm probably the worst auditioner in the business of auditioning. It's been people that have said, I want to work with him, period.
Yeah.
And Randy Huggins, he was really, really connected to that character. He's the showrunner and a guy who really brought the show to life. After the first season, I was only supposed to be on one episode. That was it. I had one episode. It was a season finale. I was excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
I got to make some money toward my health care with the union. You know what I'm saying? Some people just give me enough work where I can get my insurance covered. And they fell in love with that character that episode. They brought me back the following season. And at the beginning, I was only supposed to be in 3 episodes.
Mm.
But they got so connected to that, to the character, they kept writing me in.
Yeah.
And then if you notice it on that show, it wasn't a lot of comic relief on that show. It was all serious. So I think for writers, if you look at mostly some of the most serious, dramatic television shows, whatever, they always have somebody that's serious but always kind of make you laugh. Mm. So I think that's the reason why they brought me back for season 2. I was missing in season 3. You never know what's going to happen, but I really enjoyed it. It was a good thing, especially in the streets. They loved it.
Yeah, you did a good job with that, man.
Thank you.
You did a good job with that, Ron. I like that.
Go ahead and say it. You was a good punk. You played that
punk
role.
Well, hell, you kept him alive.
Yeah.
Like, even though he would talk crazy, he knew he couldn't do too much.
He was like the only one who could talk to him.
Yeah.
But it was interesting. Slick Naeem, he directed my guy Mo's show on that show. It was interesting because acting is so funny because people never know what the pressures. When you see something on TV, you see the final product.
Mm.
You don't see 70 people behind the scenes shooting it. And in my intro scene, when we did it, and this is like, I don't know if you've ever been on a movie set or what your resume is. You know, it's like at the end of the night, it's pressure to get everything done because you start to go into overtime, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the intro scene, when you first see my character, Alvin, you see Lamar, he was leaving the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. So it wasn't raining. They had to bring the water towers in to make it seem like it was raining and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
We probably had like 5 minutes before we was going to overtime, which would cost them thousands and thousands of dollars. And the director said, we're going to shoot this in sequence. And I'm not a trained actor. I'm like, what the hell is sequence, right? He was like, we're going to do it all with one camera in one motion, right? Mm. Which meant I had to drive this Hertz. I had to hit a mark because you got to hit the light at a certain time, you know, or you'll blow it. You got to come out. You got to get into the light. Then I had to get him off the ground, wait for the camera to twist around, to follow me, to wait for it to go back to me, to put him in the car, to start the car again and leave, right?
Yeah.
And he looked at me like I was really Alvin, like I was a pump. He was like, well, we ain't got to do it in sequence. We can just cut it up. I was like, let's roll. And I said, let's roll. He said, action. I drove that car. I hit my mark. I could see the light hit my face. Then I could see the light hit his face. And I picked him up. I got my lines, put him in the car, slammed the door, took off. And then at the end, they said, that's it. We got it. Martini. I was like, y'all gonna stop playing with me. But that was it. I'm telling you, when you working on a set, and when people are counting on you to come through like that, when you do it, that's really how you get more work. Mm. Being likable, likable, and doing your job. You'll work forever in this business.
Yeah. Comedy went crazy a couple months
ago. Let's go.
About to say, man, hold on, man. Hold on.
That's all I'm saying, son. You got to say no. I told him no. Thank God. I believe in God. I told him no. He invited me to a party. I said, what time? He said, daytime. I said, I'll be there. I ain't doing a nighttime joint, son. You got to tell him no. Yeah, comedy is in a weird place right now, man. Go ahead, say it.
Yo, we was talking about
anybody think about no damn Corey Hogan. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. I don't know who y'all talking about. No. Corey, how come? That's his name to me. Corey, how come?
Yo, that
so
was
mad?
Crazy to see.
It was crazy.
I was like, because I was so confused.
Yeah, you're confused if you don't know, if you're not in that comedy world.
Mm-hmm.
Just as confused as you were about that interaction that I had with him, I was just as confused as the interaction he had with his fans on his podcast and everything.
Yeah.
And like, people tell me, don't talk about this, but it's people tell me, that, Donnell, you know what? You got to take the high road. I'm not a high road ninja.
Yeah.
I'm from the low road. You know, I'm from like, let's just keep it going, right?
Yeah.
And it's hard for me not to engage a situation where I feel like it's a level of disrespect.
Yeah.
And that's just not just for me. I'm a loyal friend. You know what I'm saying? I've been rocking with Dave Chappelle for years. He's done good things for me. I've done good things for her. I did good things for the show. And then for somebody to have a platform that you could use for positivity, and you know positivity is not engaging.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that. When I did a media run for my special, every place I went to, they said, you know, controversy sells. Mm-hmm. They're looking for them sound bites. So for some time for him to really talk trash, not just about Dave, but pretty much anybody that's made in this business, I think that's unfortunate and unfair. And like, when you make the notion, and it's not just him, it's people in business, when because of, you know, you see other people's careers excel, right? And you can't deal with that. So you make excuses for it. You say, well, they must have done something, because the word out there, if you didn't been in more than three movies, you probably didn't did Fellatio or somebody, right? I think that's unfortunate, because you discredit hard work, you discredit ethics, you discredit in some cases, you discredit God, you discredit somebody to put the work in, just because you didn't see your stuff go.
Right.
Everybody got different paths.
Yeah.
And people always talk about, I came from the mud. I came from the mud myself, but guess what? I showered up. I'm going from ashy to classy.
Yeah.
I leveled up and I leveled up. I cleaned myself up. And you just can't, you can do whatever you want to do. But being critical of somebody's accomplishments because you haven't accomplished the same thing, I think that's unfortunate. And I don't think there's no place for it.
What I got out of that, oh, my bad, Nate.
I just said this. Hey, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say what I got out of that really is, and I don't have no problem with Corey. He makes me laugh every now and then, too.
And the funny thing, as I was I'm a fan of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody got different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it time and time again. That guy is one of those type of guys that can go up. His comedy is going to be cringe to some people, right? But one minute, he could be like, man, I don't believe he said that. I'm about to leave. And then 2 seconds later, he flipped a punchline, and you're going crazy. Mm-hmm. One of his old specials came up on my feed the other day, right? And as much as I wanted to hate on it, I couldn't.
Yeah.
I'm like, that is funny.
Yeah.
So why we can't celebrate
everybody
for their styles and what they do.
Right. And I just thought, like, it just came off, because once again, I was confused when it all happened, but it just came off like, you tell me if I'm wrong, but he tried to play you a little bit and you pulled his card.
Yeah, but
like, that's kind of what it came off as.
First off, in the comedy, the word corny or you're not funny is the N-word. That's a triggering word. And even in that exchange, everybody's like, well, you were defending this boy. I was defending me and my career,
that's my
resume.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like this. We can have a conversation because I didn't want to yell out. You know, I wanted to have this conversation with him prior to that, but that was the only opportunity. I did three shows. I was ready to leave, and I got triggered. And I will say, I didn't feel good about, because there's an unwritten rule. There's an unwritten rule that you don't yell out at a comic on stage. But I thought that rule was about, I was like, well, I don't know why I have to show so much respect for somebody so disrespectful to everybody else, right? If I could have taken back anything, I would probably rather had that conversation away from that. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, then when you try to, like me, 30 plus years, you probably got a handful of people that could say they see me bomb. You probably got another handful to say they see me had a bad set. I'm talking about a 32-year career. Right. Like, that's such a false narrative. And to say me, anybody tell you live, you can say what you want to say. You see me live, I feel and I know and I've heard it. I'm a beast on stage. So when you try to discredit that, oh, you're not a beast, you so-and-so. That's the thing that triggered me. And then when you go on that and you try to get an entire audience to ride with you, and they like, it was crickets. Yo, y'all think he mouth? They and then as much as I want to gauge the whole thing, I was like, you know what, Donnell, this is a fight that'll go on forever. And then I was like this, I'll just let it stand for what it is. I got my fans. He have his fans, people that's been loyal to me. They're not going to stop coming. And then I put it like this. If you feel a certain way, come to my show and then you'll see it. I've never been on a stage 30-some years and not left everything on that stage.
Yeah, straight up.
We need to end on something a little bit more lighthearted.
When you going on Club Shay Shay?
Yeah, I don't think so.
When you going on Club Shay Shay?
Yo,
when I said that was gonna go on.
When I said comedy went crazy a couple months ago, that's what I was referring to.
Yeah, and it was. And it was like, beef has always been there, but beef has always been, comics stealing other people's jokes. You being of somebody. But now the thing is, why everything is in everybody's eye now, because now you have platforms. At first, you didn't have platforms. Now you can go on a podcast. You can go say how you feel about it. But it's been like that forever. Especially, I don't know what it is about on a black comedy circuit, man. It feels like, for some reason, they feel like it only could be one person that's winning at a time. Everybody can eat. It's enough money. It's enough stages. It's enough everything for everybody to get on. And as much as I wanted to go down that route, I was like, you know, a lot of good things are happening for you, Donnell. So don't let that, don't fall into the trap.
Yeah. You're on one of the most used gifts, like on the planet. Laughter? The Breakfast Club one. And then when it came back, like, a year ago when everybody saw the clip for the first time of what they didn't know what you were talking
they
about.
So disrespectful to me, man. Yo, and I was right. I was so big on this book. I got a young son, right? And I had to, and the idea, everybody's like, that's not a book. And what it was Common had just came in before me, right? And Common was promoting a book. He had the hard copy, copies give away, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like this, oh, he get all I love. I got a book too.
Yeah.
So I went to the assistant and I sent her the PDF, right? I said, print this out. They was like, what's that? I said, that's my book. They knew it was about to be jokes, right? So I was like, this is my book. I brought my book out. It was called Austin's Dad's Hat. And the inspiration behind it was, my father passed away some years ago, and he left all these hats, right? So I was telling my son's story about my father through these hats. I was like, oh, that'd be a nice thing for a children's book. So I'm all serious about it. Man, I pulled out. They dogged my book out so bad.
Man,
they said it looked like Jehovah Witness pamphlet. They was like, that's not a book. I'm like, this is a book. And I said, I took his book and threw it across the room. I was like, a book don't start like this. It has to, what I was trying to explain to him, it got to start from an idea, right?
Yeah.
And then this is where, envy coming at me hard, right? And I was like, and then I said, man, nobody say that when you were selling houses with Big Pun out in Jersey, and his boy that's under a lot of pressure right now, right? And it was funny because it was like a delayed reaction. It was like shooting somebody with an African dart. You shoot him, and it don't hit him until like 30 seconds later. Right?
Like,
it
was did like, I just get hit?
And then all of a sudden, Charlamagne said, ah! And that meme took off. It's so funny. This is so weird how people can stay relevant in public's eye, because so many, like, that meme, anytime somebody says something funny or does something funny, yep, they use that to punctuate laughter.
Yes.
And that was a black cookout. Listen to some Marvin Gaye laugh, man. And pop, 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 pop. I got him back.
Because it encompasses everything. Charlemagne's hitting you.
Right.
You're reacting like it's everything about black laughter all in one gift.
The only thing I could have done was run out the room. Come back with like a soda or something. Because black people, we laugh, man. You know it.
Oh, come on, but man. We have a good time.
And then it was like, you know, like a lot of times with morning shows, whatever, it's like you got to keep a certain energy. Mm. So a lot of times people say something, it ain't really funny, but it's like, you got cowbells and all that type of stuff. Yeah. But that was because it caught everybody off guard. And as they say in the streets, people was hollering.
That was a classic.
That was funny.
That was a classic. Yeah. Hey, Donnell, we a sports show, right?
Right.
So gotta ask you, man. What's up with you in sports, man? Who's your favorite like overall team out of any
sports,
team? In
sports, it would be I won't use the names of the change or whatever. I won't say the Commanders, but it's the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
And the reason I'm old enough to remember when that team was the team. Mm. I remember when to be on that team, you had to have missing like two front teeth. You know, I remember
the Hogs.
I remember the Hogs. Gary Clark. I did a podcast a while ago, and I got a chance to interview Dexter Manley, Charles Mann, and it was so. And Dexter Manley tried to punk me. It's a very intimidating looking guy, but I got to tell you, man, it's been rough because I'm not really a big sports guy like that. Mm-hmm. But it's been rough for the Commanders, the football team, or whatever you want to call them. Mm. I said the Washington Commander Skins are the only team in the league that they could be up by 35 points with 2 minutes left and you would not change the channel. You would not get up. You'd be like, no, don't change it. All they need is four touchdowns, an interception, a pick six, offsides, a punt, a field goal, and they'd be right back in the game. And just like clockwork, it'd be happening just like that. Man. And next thing you know, they lost by a point.
And it does feel like that the Commander Skins, as you like to call it, that one. I hadn't heard that one. They're like ingratiated in the city of D.C. Like that.
It is.
Like it's the Wizards are cool, Nationals are cool.
See, I'm bullets. I'm like old school.
I got you.
But it's interesting. I had a different relationship with the Skins, with the ownership, because I still am friends with Dan Snyder. And I met him in Aspen maybe like 9 years ago. He was vacationing, whatever. I was doing a show with Chappelle, my good friend Guy Torrey. He's really connected with sports. Okay. He was like, yo, one of the Redskins guys wants to get tickets, blah, blah. We can't get no tickets. So I got them 10 tickets, like, I don't know, like out of nowhere. And we built a relationship after that. And can you imagine being a childhood fan of a team, and now you got a relationship with the owner of the team?
It's crazy.
It's almost like, he can't do no wrong with me. Yeah. Like being invited to the owner's box. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That relationship we call, talk about jokes and stuff like that. And this is what people don't understand. And he made a point. I remember, I think it was last year. It was doing I don't know what game. I think it was playing the Broncos, whatever it was. But I'm in the owner's box, right? And his wife was part of some type of nonprofit, and they put on a jumbotron or whatever, right? And everybody, this is when I knew that he was about to leave. The whole stadium turned around, and it was booing his wife. It was booing him, right? This is when they was booing him. And she was handling it. She was just like waving, like, I know this is part of the deal. And after the game was, they won that game, right? And it was just me, him, Juan Rivera, and I forget the general manager's name. Like, I'm like, how the hell is Ashley Larry sitting with the three top people and just hanging out on some regular stuff?
Yeah.
And Snyder was pacing. And he told me, he said, Donnell, he said, you know what? He said, F with me. This is what he said. Mm-hmm. He said, but don't F with my wife. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. He said, F me, don't F me. He said, I could take it, but don't mess with her.
Right.
Right? And then I said, well, you know what stops people from born like that? And he looked at me like he didn't. I said, winning. And then he said, Tonnell, I can't play football. Right?
Yeah.
He started laying down all the money, everything that, because almost every year for my 15 years, it looked like we had the right prospect. It looked like we had the right, we was on the right direction. He said, I can't play football. And then he started counting off the money he spent on certain people. He said, I can't play football.
Mm.
And it don't matter. I don't know if it was an omen or whatever. Just could never get it together.
Yeah.
You know? And I know people in D.C. are happy that he's gone, but it's in, for me, it's kind of unfortunate because he was, you know, he was a billionaire. I don't know what level of good friends, but I had a great relationship with him. He showed me love, showed my family love, and he was always cool to me. But I hope this is the year. We say this every year that something changes. I'm surprised that I just was on, I started getting on my feet that they're about to retire Daryl Green.
Yeah, I saw that today, yeah.
And I'm like, how did you miss that?
Right. I was shocked to see that too. Yeah. Like, it's not already retired.
Hall of Fame. How do you? And that, I mean, what athletes are like that? He was built from a different cloth to be able to take care of his body for 20 years, and not just 20 years hanging around. Was competitive up until he left, unscathed, no rumors, family man or whatever. Mm-hmm. They should have statues, something for him somewhere in there. But I know that's one game I definitely want to go see when they retire his jersey. That's going to be a good feeling for D.C.
Punchline starting tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday.
Getting up there this weekend, man.
Yes, sir.
We appreciate you.
And whatever you yell out, don't yell mild.
What?
Don't yell, you mild.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm not bringing no attention to myself. I know the rules, man. I ain't bringing no attention to myself at these shows.
No, but I'm telling you, if you followed my career, it's over a lot of stuff. I guarantee if you come see me perform stand-up live, you'll become a lifetime fan. That's the thing that I pay my bills with. That's the thing that I'm very, very comfortable with, and that's the thing I take the pride in. So we're going to do it. We're going to do it.
Yes, sir.
Punchline Comedy Club starting tonight. PunchlineSac.com. You want a copy of tickets. We'll be back here with more. Steelo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.